There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3, 1-5. Good morning, friends. I want you to know that Jesus came preaching a different gospel. He spoke of a new kingdom, a new economy, where those who mourn would be comforted, where the meek would inherit the earth, where those who hunger and thirst after righteousness would always be satisfied, where the merciful would receive mercy, and where the pure of heart would see God. Jesus talked of an economy where happiness was possible even in persecution, where the children of God would be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, where we could ask, seek, knock, and we would receive, find, and the doors would be opened. A kingdom built upon a rock that Satan and the storms of life could not destroy. This kind of preaching and teaching intrigued Nicodemus. He came to Jesus asking how. How can I gain admission into such a kingdom? What must I do to live in this new economy? Jesus' answer was simple and straightforward. You must be born again. Nicodemus was a Jew. He understood that to be part of God's kingdom, one must be born into it, to be a child of Abraham, an Israelite by birth. So he asked the question, How can I be born again? Must I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Jesus' reply was, Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then Jesus explains that he was not speaking of a physical birth, but rather a spiritual one. I believe everybody listening this morning would like to be part of such a kingdom. We would all want to live in this new economy, right? So the lesson this morning is, what does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? The first thing I want to do is to establish the fact that water in John 3:5 is the water of New Testament baptism. Some have tried to say that Jesus is speaking of two births here, that the water is referring to physical birth and that the word of Spirit refers to spiritual birth. But notice there is only one preposition, born of water and of the Spirit. You see, in this new birth, whosoever is born of water is also born of the Spirit at the same time. Jesus is speaking of only one birth in this text. Now, we need to point out that you'll see the preposition of twice in the King James, but it is italicized. That means it's not found in the original Greek and has been added by the translators. The American Standard, the New American Standard Version, and the NIV all render it as in the Greek. In fact, Jesus goes on to say that that which is physical, and that which is spiritual. You see, being born again is a spiritual event that includes baptism in water and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now you may ask, Steve, do you have a scripture that says this? Do you have book, chapter, and verse? Well, friends, yes, I do. Paul makes this very plain in Titus 3:3-7. Listen closely as I read. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now Paul here is describing the alien sinner. But listen to Paul as he goes on. But after that, the kindness of love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now how did he do that? Well, Paul says, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When we are born from above, when do we experience renewal by the Holy Spirit? When are we justified by his grace? When do we become heirs of eternal life? Paul says it is in the regeneration or the new birth. The Hebrew writer puts it this way, Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:22-23. When do we have our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience? When do we have hope for what he promised? When we are washed with pure water. One more scripture, this time Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Now how do we become part of God's church? How are we cleansed? How are we made pure, without stain, wrinkle, or blemish? How are we made holy and blameless? By washing with water through the Word. Friends, is there any doubt that the water of John 3:5 is genuine New Testament baptism? This week, take time to go through your New Testament and count the number of times that salvation, forgiveness, entrance into the kingdom is tied to water baptism, beginning with our text in John chapter 3. In Mark 16:15, Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Peter told his audience on Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And in verse 47 it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved," or, "And the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved." The Ethiopian eunuch said, "Behold, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Acts 8:36. The Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spoke the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night. The jailer took Paul and Silas and washed their stripes. And then was baptized he and all his immediately. Acts 16:30-33. Ananias told Saul in Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, as we conclude our lesson, I want us to go back and take a look at Nicodemus and his growth as he searches the scriptures. He searches the truth. When we first see Nicodemus in John 3, we see him coming to Jesus under the veil of darkness, maybe out of fear. For we read in John 12:42, that among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. It would be a natural inclination to fear the loss of one's position. Nicodemus might be described as a man with a good, honest heart, like the good soil in Christ's parable found in Matthew 13:18-23. Although his faith was somewhat weak, his honesty caused him to search the truth. In John 8:32 we read, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." As one examines that verse along with other verses of the Bible, the thought of truth seekers come out. For one to find Christ, he must be a truth seeker. Thus it becomes necessary to look into the Scriptures. Perhaps Nicodemus was present when Jesus told the Jews to search the Scriptures, "For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." John 5:39. He, like all true Jews, was looking for the Christ. He continued to do as Jesus said. He searched the Scriptures. A wonderful thing happens as one searches and meditates upon God's holy word. Faith begins to grow. Romans 10:17. By the time Jesus is nailed to the cross, Nicodemus's faith has grown to the point that he is now ready to openly confess his belief before the world. This is the third time we meet this great man of God. We read in John 19:38 of Joseph of Arimathea asking Pilate for the body of Jesus. Please listen to verses 38-42. "And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took away his body. And there came also Nicodemus, he who at first came to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds, so that they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb wherein was never a man laid. There then, because of the Jews' preparation, for the tomb was nigh at hand, they laid Jesus." Now notice that confession of faith is not just so many words uttered at one's baptism, but something that one does, a life lived for Jesus. Nicodemus was now ready to show all men that he now believed. What happened to Nicodemus? Well, I'd be very surprised if he's not one of the 120 mentioned in Acts 1:15. In my mind, I can see him standing, listening as Peter draws that first gospel sermon to a close with these words, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:36. And as Peter answers the people's question, "What shall we do?" by telling them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. Nicodemus would have remembered the words of Jesus spoken to him when he came to Jesus by night. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God." Remembering these words, he would have understood that repentance and baptism in water constitutes the act of being born of water and the Spirit. The new birth of Jesus spoke in John 3:3-5. The memory of this conversation, or his conversation with the Messiah, and this great sermon of the inspired apostle burning in his soul. Could Nicodemus refuse to be born again? The question is, can you? Friends, will you become a truth seeker and allow the truth to make you free? Until next week, may God bless and keep you.